Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. Give us ears to hear,
eyes to see
what your Spirit
is preparing for me.
Amen. Yes, dear. Oh, yes. Okay, pigs in the parlor, yeah, that's an oldie but goodie, huh? I want to take you on a little ride to Psalms number 39. Psalm number 39. I want you to see what King David took as his medicine. Okay? King David wrote many, many songs. We call them Psalms. And verse 1 says, I said I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. Now, how many know your tongue can get you into sin? Okay? So has anything changed in close to 3,000 years?
Nope.
Okay. I will put a muzzle on my mouth. Now, anybody know what a muzzle is? They're making sure that a dog will not bite with a muzzle. He can open his mouth. He can make a little bit of a woof. But he's not going to take a hunk of skin out of you. Okay? Notice it's, I will watch my ways. I will put a muzzle. So, there's something for me and you to do. Amen? How many know your confession can bring life or death? James chapter 3, if you need to check that out, will show you the power of your tongue. Okay? So sometimes the muzzle needs to be on you so that you're not hurting your future. I know there's sometimes you say, oh, if you only knew, if you only knew. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know. And you shouldn't want to know either. Because the word says that you confess all the darkness and it gives it power. How many have ever had the poor me's and started to decry? Oh my God, Lord, I don't want to live anymore. You haven't gone that far? I've met a few that did go there. And it's not a good place to live. It's not even a good place to visit. But it happens. So I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. Oh, okay. So there's some wicked people around him too. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. Yeah. How many know that you can rev up just trying to be quiet? The more you try to be quiet, there's like it's like an Alka-Seltzer. It fizzes everywhere. Amen? All right. And it doesn't cure your headache. It creates a new one. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. I love this part because it's probably the most important part of this verse. Show me, O Lord, my life's end. And the number of my days, let me know how fleeting is my life. Will this test ever end? See, if you check out with him, you might find that the test is going to be done sooner than you think. Mortality is a part of this experience. Resurrection is also part of this experience. So I want to kind of skip over into a couple of places that may help you. Psalms 90, verse 5. You sweep men away in the sleep of death, and they are like the new grass of the morning. Psalms 90, verse 6. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. That's how fast your life goes forward. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. That was Psalm 103, verse 15. Now verse 16. The wind blows over it, and it isn't gone. And its place remembers it no more. Isaiah 40, verse 6. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. Verse 7, the grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. Isaiah 51, 12. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass? That gives you a whole new outlook about life. James 1:10. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. How encouraging a message that is. But you see, 1 Peter 1:24 says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and its flowers fall. The flowers fall. You see, many of these pieces to the puzzle that come into our hearts are the emotions that we all experience. Every single one of us experiences. And it doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter to what kind of trial or test that you're in. But you will continue to be changed if you get a grip on the test you're in has an end. Even if you're having a struggle, and many are having struggles emotionally or physically, but they're all part of life. Verse 5 of Psalm 39. You have made my days a mere hand's breadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Ah. He runs to the Lord because he's depressed. He's having a hard time. He's taking a gospel right now. And he's saying loud and clear, my hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. In other words, the test was involved because God was in charge. Verse 10. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline me, men, for their sins. You rebuke and discipline men for their sins. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. And it says Selah, which means conceive and think about these things. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. And then verse 1 of 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. And it goes on. When I was going through this and rehearsing some of it, I was looking at the two complete opposites. One is a day where he's feeling sorry for himself. He's got all these problems ahead, and he's got his mouth totally closed. The next one, he starts singing about the God that he is now knowing he's serving. Which of the two days would you like to be experiencing? And that's what came to me today. This eternal walk that we're on will not stop whether this body goes into the ground or not. And so we need to get a new attitude about life. And not to be depressed because there's a test or a difficulty or a hardship. Because those hardships are designed for us to mature. He doesn't want us to go into heaven as babies. He wants us to go into the heavenlies as adult sons and daughters. Why? Do you think kindergarten is going to be fun in heaven? You say, I thought I was going to just be walking around, you know, sleeping on a ceiling.
Sleeping on a ceiling.
Yeah. It's like sleeping on a cloud, right?
No, we're going to be working.
We're going to be doing a work for him. All the heavens will be a challenge to us. And there will be many, many things that he's going to reveal. Huh?
Heaven's going to be a challenge?
Well, yeah, because they're going to be learning things all the time about the wonders of our Father. You know, you're going to have a pillow, but it's going to be awesome in different colors. There will be challenges forever because you'll never ever be able to figure out the awesomeness of God. It's going to be so incredible. You're going to get so excited. Why? Because he's ever revealing himself to his creation. But you know what? Kindergarten in the heavenlies is still better than hell.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not excusing anything. I am saying, however, just like the young man there who gets hired at the end of the day, gets the same pay. Just like the guys who took care of the goods, gets the same pay in 1 Samuel. God is knowing your hearts. And I do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, God is trying to get us with a new mindset. We are eternal beings. We've already started our eternal walk.
We are going to have a new body, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A new body with all the attributes that Jesus had.
All right.
Every one of those. You're going to put on immortality soon. You're going to put on immortality soon. Okay. We talked about this several times, about God preparing something awesome for us. The cloud of witnesses are waiting for us to be transformed. They're sitting in the sidelines Yes, 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 keep on going. Don't stop. Keep on going. Why? Because the first to be changed will be those that will rise out of the grave, and we will definitely be changed with them. When the trumpet shouts out. Time out.
Are you going in the corner?
No, I'm not going in the corner. I just want you to hear just a couple of words from the mystery of the Shemitah. And I'm only going to do this to tempt you. I love tempting people. This is the intrigue at the end of the book. Both in 1917 and in 1967 were epic years in Jewish history and end-time prophecy. Each involves the changing of the sovereignty over the land. Each involved those in possessions of the land being forced to relinquish it. The Ottoman Turks in 1917 and the Jordanian army in 1967 each involved and came about through war. World War I in 1917 and the Six-Day War in 1967. Each involving fighting in the land of Israel. Each involved the restoration of an ancient people to the land and to their ancestral inheritance. The first restoration followed the Shemitah of 1916 and 17. Counting forward from that time, we arrive at the seventh Shemitah of 1965 and 1966. The seventh Shemitah leads into the year of the great restoration, that of Jerusalem. If the cycle was to continue into the future, when would the next corresponding year be?
2015.
Yeah, you got it. The seventh Shemitah would be that of 2014 and 2015. Thus, the corresponding years would be that of September 2015 and September 2016. Last, as with the other mysteries and cycles, the connection between the two restorations does not necessarily have to repeat at the end of the coming cycle, but it is worthy of a note. I finished it today. And listen to this. This was part of his message that he gave April 5. Passover this year had the third blood moon. He also pointed out that the word cedar in Hebrew means strength. He brought out that in April 2014, on the corner of the land of Ground Zero, they literally pulled out that cedar tree that they had been trying to keep alive. They pulled it out, and one of his friends went over to talk to the guys that do the work with the trucks and the lawn care people and stuff. And he said, why aren't they planting another cedar? Oh, he says, because somebody wrote a book called Harbinger or something like that. And they're afraid to put another one in because they know they can't keep it alive. So the strength of our nation is about to be tested. And you can check Leviticus 25, verse 2. Because it speaks of the years of Jubilee and the 7 years and how the land should have a rest. So now if you'll close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, give me a hunger for your word. Let me not focus on my death, but the death to self is still in progress. And like King David, I will focus on the victories. I will purpose to trust by choice. Because God's got a plan. On the solid rock. Jesus is. the solid rock. Hallelujah. Amen.